Hello and welcome everyone to episode 14 of the Bootleggers Buzzcast podcast. This is your host, Kosti, and I'll be reading all the articles for you for this particular publication of the Bootleggers Buzz. Seeing as the round just got started, we don't have too terribly much to get into just yet, but the few articles we do have are chock full of information and are quite intriguing. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and get right into it with our first article. Behind the Name by Kosti. Welcome back to another edition of Behind the Name. This publication, we have a special guest who is requested by many and known by even more. The infamous, the notorious, the non-binary feline? Spine! So grab yourself a snack and dig in as we get to know a little bit more about one of Bootlegger's most intriguing characters. Whether you know him as DJ, the spider of Bootleggers, always lurking, the silver-tongued devil, always getting himself and others into mischief, or you know him as Spine, the notorious rule-bender who always seems to find himself banned or on the ban on sight, yet always seems to be playing anyway. Or maybe you know him as Chirper, a cat-loving rebrand he tried over the last 8 years or so. The person you may not know is Dylan, a husband, a father, and oddly enough, a servant of the legal system. Surprisingly enough, to say the least, considering his infamous reputation on Bootleggers. While his job has taken him all over the world, he calls Pennsylvania home. Being a big Philadelphia Eagles fan myself, I just had to know if we've shared this fandom. This is where I learned that he's not really into American football, but is a very big baseball fan. A Boston Red Sox fan, at that. After a little bit of ribbing and banter back and forth about our choices of sports, we moved on to his reputation here on Bootleggers. While he admitted that he more than deserved the reputation he garnered in the past, he was quick to point out that he was quite young when most of his immaturity was on display for the whole of the community to witness. That, combined with a host of impersonators over the years, has all but cemented who he is in the eyes of much of the player base. At the end of the day, however, he considers himself a leader, a tactician, and not the man most consider him to be. Hopefully, in reading this, you can all see for yourselves, as I have throughout my time speaking with Spine, via this interview. Dutifully dedicated to his wife and 3-year-old daughter, of whom I saw a picture of and I must admit is extremely cute. Spine spends most of his free time with them and doesn't bother himself with the frivolities of his youth any longer. Playing hide-and-seek with his daughter, who is perpetually playing dress-up, is his way of, quote-unquote, training her to be UG, as he stated, even though Flames has already warned him that he doesn't want to see her having an account just yet. He's happy enough just to enjoy his life, as he thought he'd never have. One hobby he does enjoy, though, and admits he is a novice, is playing the guitar. When asked what the most difficult song was he's attempted, he said that he'd be made fun of if he said the obvious and Santana. That he did attempt once. But when pressed, though, Dylan said that the hardest song he's ever tried to master was That Smell by Lynyrd Skynyrd. When asked what inspired him to play the guitar, he pointed to all the live music he saw growing up in the restaurant / bar that his parents owned and thought it was the coolest thing. Some of the artists gave him a couple tips and tricks and picked it up from there. More on that restaurant later. Before that, I just had to get to the bottom of the most pressing question that most of us have for Spine. What in the world is up with this cat obsession? After making an off-color joke about cats being part of his gender identity, he stated he didn't have any extra fondness of cats in general. He just happened to have a very cute cat by the name of Mistletoe who was very photogenic, of whom he is considered making an NFT of. It worked for Dogecoin, I don't see why it couldn't work for the Chirper as well. For the record, he has several pets to include another cat, Winston, a dog, George, who apparently is obsessed with cats, as he can't quite seem to stay out of the litter box. However, according to Spine, none of the above-mentioned pets have accounts on Bootleggers currently. It wasn't until we almost completely concluded the interview that I stumbled upon another hobby of his that we both shared. Guns! So, of course, we spent the next hour or two exchanging pictures of our metallic babies and exchanging stories of how we got them and which ones we wanted to get in the future. It was during this discussion that we came to realize just how similar we are politically, which inevitably led down an entirely different rabbit hole of conversations that isn't relevant to this article. Needless to say, with how long this interview ended up taking, Dylan opened up to us here at The Buzz more than you would expect, which is how we got such a deep understanding of who he is behind the computer screen. Circling back to bootleggers-related items, I just had to ask the age-old question that is in every behind-the-name feature. Why Spine? What was the motivation for the name, and where did it come from? Quite simply, why? Turns out there was a thrash metal band called Spine Shank back in the day, and he thought it sounded cool. So his first username was Spine Shank 1, and people just started calling him Spine from there. A story he was reluctant to share, and I eventually pried out of him. Speaking of origins, we went back to when he first started playing, what got him interested in crews, and leading them more specifically. Turns out his parents owning that restaurant, as we briefly discussed before, was the catalyst for his leadership ability. It was in working at this restaurant growing up that he learned the intricacies of management. Between juggling shifts, meal preparation, and general logistics, he took a liking into organizing things. His neighbor, a frequent visitor at the restaurant, was none other than Blue Day, the person responsible for turning Dylan on to bootleggers. Although he no longer plays and has had his own stint on the BOS, Dylan pressed on, joining his first crew led by none other than Mist, entitled Can-Am Muscle. After learning the ropes for about a year, he tried his hand in starting his own crew, None, and was instantly hooked to the political nature and espionage of the game's underground. It was this fascination with the underground politics that led him to take part in several notorious crews over the years, like MS Inc., and even climbing to the ranks of Axtez to underboss before establishing the State in 2015. When discussing his stint on the BOS, I discovered that he got himself and a couple others in some hot water when he was early on in his teen years. Various exploits earned him a first-class ticket to Savin's shit list, which prompted him to create the BOS list, of which Spine and Blue Day were amongst the first to grace. Oddly enough, it escalated to the point where the internet service provider reached out to Blue Day's mother, after which the duo was officially not allowed to hang out again for quite some time. So Savin, in a way, banned them from the game virtually, and from friendship in reality. Talk about a harsh hit. He is adamant that those days are behind him now. Now he is much older, much more mature, and learned about the value of fair play. He wants to win on his own terms, and is dedicated to showing the community that he can do just that. When asked if he had anything else he wanted to add upon the conclusion of the interview, he only expressed his sympathies for a dear old friend who isn't with us anymore, Moxie. I'm sure we can all agree with Spine's sentiments and hoping that his soul is indeed resting in peace. Towards the end of round 10, he and the State picked a fight with the family. A brief blow back and forth established tensions leading into round 11. It would seem they have squashed their beef heading into the new round, according to Spine. When asked if he was worried about the weight that the beef with the family would bring down upon him and his crew, should they not reach an agreement, he stated, "The only person I'm afraid of is Pondus. Nobody ever gives that man credit, but he deserves it." So there you have it. Will Spine be able to leverage his experience and wit along with his newfound fair play initiative to make the State one of the strongest crews on bootleggers? Only time will tell, and you can be sure the buzz will be watching and covering it all the way. Make sure you check in future publications to see any potential developments. So there you have it, the definitive interview of the one, the only, Spine. A special thank you for Dylan for being so open and sharing what he did with the community. Check back in on Bootleggers Buzz at our next publication of Behind the Name to see who gets to spill the beans about their life behind the screen. If you'd like to be interviewed on an upcoming issue, or if you would like to see someone else interviewed, comment below and let us know. I'll take special requests, and if I don't receive any, I can't make any promises, but I will try my best to ensure I pick our guests as randomly as possible to get to all corners of the Bootleggers community. Until next time, I'm Coasty, and I'll see you then. The New Staff by Vio. After a long application process, the new staff has been selected. Genocide, Radar, and Mahima. I apologize if I mispronounced any of those incorrectly. However, there were three to fill the big shoes of Riot, Strikeback, and K-Devo. Going into the new round, the three moderators gained many players' respect after rebranding the Chaos Period to a giveaway fest, giving the forum vultures everything they could wish for and more. In a time where users online rarely showed above 100 names, the new trainees sure managed to engage the community and slowly but surely lure players back in to get that pink elephant they never managed to get, or a new enchanted money tree that we wouldn't have had time to let die before the end of the round. They've already shown visibility in the forums, listening and interacting eagerly with the community, also being active with players, They do seem to check a lot of the boxes that the former staff did not. Let's get to know them a little better, shall we? In this issue, we've asked all three moderators some questions, and also checked in on some players who knew them beforehand. Let's first begin with Radar. Radar tells us that he is quite new to the game, and has only been playing for about a year and a half. Of course, our more seasoned players immediately squint their eyes and think, clearly Ben. Radar says he randomly found the game as he was searching online for similar types of games that he got really hooked. Along the way, I've picked up a lot of experience that have made some unbelievable friends. I asked him why he decided to apply to the moderator position, and he explained that he thought he had a good chance of being picked due to his enthusiasm about the game and wishing to help others. I miss the gameplay side of things, but nothing makes me more happy knowing that I can help a few people along the way, which is hopefully starting to show. So then I asked him, why do you think you were selected? He responded, well, this could be one of many things, but honestly, I believe I got chosen because of my professionalism and my loyalty. I dedicate myself to something and I stick to it until it's done or people move on. I believe that I got the spot for these reasons, but then again, under a year and a half. So it could also be that reason, and maybe because I'm not biased. Maybe I don't have enemies. Hopefully people like me more than they don't. You'd have to ask the big man himself. We then asked them, in crews, we often ask players that can vouch for you. What non-staff player would you pick to vouch for you? His response was, well, as mentioned above, I've made some fantastic friends along the way, and I would hope that any one of them would vouch for me. These three people were the Butcher, Dizzy, and a character named B-A-A-S-J-E. I don't want to butcher that name, so I'll just spell it for you. Either way, the Butcher said, one of my really good friends on here, and an absolute powerhouse overall in the game. Dizzy said, absolute sweetheart, and really loving, a caring person. B-A-A-S-J-E said, also a really good friend of mine and taught me a hell of a lot about the game. Before concluding, we gave him an opportunity to say anything else he wanted to say while he has the chance, and he responded with the following. Well, yes, going on the vouches, there are so many people that could get a mention here, and you know who you are. A lot of people helped me throughout this game, they have taught me a lot of things along the way, and hey, we still learn something new every day, even as a moderator. Mainly, I would like to take the space and time to say thank you, higher up, for trusting me with the position, and thank you all to the community as we try to build this platform to be a better place for everyone. We also took the time to reach out to one of his vouchers to ask for some input on Radar, and of course, we picked the one that I can't pronounce the name of, which is B-A-A-S-J-E. What he said was, half of me is extremely happy because I know Adam is one of the most trustworthy and energetic people I know. He's an extremely good listener, and the time he puts into the game is crazy. He has no lasting ties to any of the crews, making him the perfect moderator. We started Bootleggers last June, me as a returning player after an absence of 15 years, him completely new. We learned the game together, and were together in our first crew. At one point, I joined Vindicta, with my little brother being there. Of course, I wanted Adam with me, but you know how it goes on Bootleggers. The risk of someone not saying who he or she is large at times. So, only a few weeks ago, Adam finally joined. And this is the part I feel sad about. Adam will not experience playing the game as a member of us. Our relationship changed. There's loads of things he cannot say, likewise for me. The chats have been more often about the state of the game. I realize the change of role, our paths separated. But I genuinely think there was no better candidate, and I wish him the best of luck. Next on the docket is Maima. We asked him, what is your experience with the game? He said, I've been playing Bootleggers for a long time, since October 2004. I've been fortunate to have met some great people, played both solo and as part of great crews, and had two spells as the Buzz editor, so I feel like I've had a pretty good handle on the ins and outs of the game and the different playstyles we have as a community. When asked what made him apply for the moderator position, he said that he had already made up his mind about two-thirds of the way through the last round that I was going to wind down playing the game. I've dedicated lots of time and attention to crew wars and grinding and shooting on the game, and I was unsure what I was going to do for round 11. Online gaming is a different beast when you have a full-time work schedule, sports, family, and kids that also demand attention. When the topic came up to apply as a moderator, it struck me as a great opportunity to step back from playing hardcore, but also keep in touch with the community and stay involved with the game that I have now spent over half my life playing. There have been a lot of ups and downs in bootleggers over the years, as we all know, but I wanted to, and hope I can, contribute positively in some way as the game continues going forward. When asked why he believes he was selected, he said, "I think a combination of the experience I had playing the game and the knowledge of the game's mechanics that come along with playing. And I also have a lot of additional expertise outside of bootleggers to draw upon, including additional experience of online community moderation on a larger scale outside of bootleggers. I have some relevant experience in more investigative types of work in my full-time job, which come into play for some of the more behind-the-scenes moderation beyond what you see on the forums." When we asked him about his vouchers, he said, "This is a really tough question because I've made some really good friends here and over the years. However, I would say Nika is the person I have known longest on Bootleggers. We initially met in 2007-ish when we were both members of The Supremacy, and have stayed in contact in the same circles of players since then. For this article, I had a quick word with Fear the Beard, who also knows Mahima well." Before we get to that, though, I asked him if he had anything else he'd like to say while he still has a chance, and this is what he said. "Just a couple things, really. First, I wanted to extend my thanks to all the positive messages I've received since taking up this position, and from previous friends, enemies, and everyone in between. When you step out of your crew WhatsApp bubble here and you quickly get to know a lot of people, and remember that most people are good people muddling through the same online game in our late 20s and early 30s as we were as teenagers. Secondly, I wanted to just say that as a community, we get to cultivate our own experience here, and to some extent, our enjoyment on Bootleggers is driven by our willingness to work with people. I'm not going to pretend Bootleggers has not been full of turmoil over the years, and we have definitely had peaks and troughs in terms of activity and development. Now I feel like we have a chance to really ride the wave towards some great things, and there will be opportunities for you as players, and also make your voices heard. Radar and Genesai have been doing a lot of research and collecting a lot of suggestions that we've seen in forums, on a suggestion box, and what we've seen in Discord and WhatsApp. And your constructive support is always appreciated. Player anger is understandable, but venting it in a way that insults people volunteering to try to help both lead nowhere and probably not going to make you feel better that much longer. Enjoy the game. There's enough outside of bootleggers to stress about." When we asked Fear the Beard about Mahima, he said, "I only met him a few years ago when he came back to play bootleggers, but many of our crew's long outstanding members used to play with him back in the day, and I could hear nothing but praise about this guy. My experience playing with him has been pleasant, even though we didn't always see eye to eye and sometimes we disagreed on tough subjects. But there's always been room to discuss and we could argue for anything and well thought out argument. That's one of his strengths. Besides that, the guy has a great understanding of the game and tons of playing experience. When he told us he applied to be a moderator, we weren't surprised. It's a role that suits him, and I have no doubt he will do great and take the job seriously. He might become a pain in the ass for the rest of the staff sometimes, but I am sure he'll always have a good reason to do so for the good of bootleggers." Next, we moved on to Genesai, and we asked her, just like the other two, "What is your experience with the game?" She said, "Well, it has been varied to say the least. I first signed up in 2004 at my local internet cafe. As the fourth to OC with a group of lads in my homework group, I didn't really start playing properly though until about 2006, when we finally replaced dial-up for broadband at home. I played mostly between 2006 and 2010. My first crew was Semper Familia, and later on I moved on to the Order, where I settled for most of my boot life and served as low council. I also got to experience dying as a bodyguard for a state don, the Stat. Oh, and a few crew tours, as were common in the day. I was fortunate to serve as the original DJ for player-created Boot Radio, which later became the official feature as a version of the Bootcast. They were some of my favorite times, making great memories in the game. In 2010, myself and another player welcomed a human being into the world, at which point I stepped away from the game for real life for a moment. I dipped in throughout the years, but wasn't until COVID times that I started playing actively again, and here we are. When asked what made her apply for the position, she said, "Since returning to the game, the lack of staff presence was glaringly obvious. with player issues taking far too long to resolve, it stole from a lot of the joy of the game for me, if I'm being honest. I'm quite a proactive person, so seeing a problem and then being offered an opportunity to help fix it, I went for it. I feel I have the knowledge and game experience to try to bring that joy I lost back to other players. When asked why she thought she was selected, she said, "Honestly, I don't know. Specifically, I don't know why I was picked over the others who applied. I was very private in my application, so I wasn't aware other applicants until after I was promoted. From others I know, I can only assume it was a tough decision, though I heard Kyle put our names on the wheel and spun for us. Hopefully, though, it was because of my good reputation within the game as a fair player. I feel my experience as a player, relationships I've made throughout the years, and game knowledge were probably key factors too. When we asked who non-staff would vouch for her, she said, "This is a tough one because I've spent so many years of my life here and made so many friends along the way. I wouldn't want to put anyone on the spot. Any of my crewmates from last round and the folks who merged with Project Lazarus to become the Coppola Covenant would be able to speak of my passion and commitment to the game, my integrity, loyalty, and community spirit. One player who has been a bit of a mentor for me is Ratface Ray. He was High Council when I served together in the Order. He was one of the kindest human beings I've ever met and had the pleasure of talking to. He's got a real community heart." When asked if she had anything else to say when given the chance, she said, "No, I think I've said more than enough. Seriously though, I would just like to ask the players to give us all a fair shot. We're brand new to this and we're going to make mistakes. Try to remember though, that the reason we are here is because we all genuinely want to make Bootleggers a better place." Now that we've spoken to some of the newer moderators, we wanted to see how the application process went, so we reached out to the head moderator, Flames, to get a little more insight. First, we were a little curious about how the application process went. In the past, the typical recruitment process involved the staff selecting players they believed presented themselves the right way, doing the best to verify they could play fair, then starting the player off as an HDO before eventually promoting them to moderator. I had a little chat with the head moderator, Flames. He gave us some insights. When approached, this is what he said. "This round of moderator selections was done using an application form initially. We had about 70 applicants. The main reason for this is to remove as much bias out of the selection process as possible and try to find talent suited to moderator tasks. The details from the application forms was put into a Google Sheet with the usernames removed. We scored the applications since per the criteria given in the forum. The highlighted top scoring ones, 13 applications, were shortlisted and I reached out to them on Discord to have a follow-up conversation. After a few days, I sent my thoughts about the 13 to Kyle. At this point, there was probably a 5 or 6 people that really stood out and 10 that would have been great, I have no doubts. Unfortunately, this was around the time Kyle had to take an unscheduled break, so although the decisions have been all but made, we had a slight delay in everything. Keeping the 13 people on ice wasn't nice, but I tried to keep them updated as much as possible. One of the things that helped me make my decision was trying to build a team that was more proactive, with agreed checks completed daily or weekly as required, opposed to just answering help desk tickets to kick off an investigation. This was a pretty new concept, but I was trying to find a team that would be capable of doing all the roles, but would be drawn to one initially to help me to get them on board efficiently. These three roles we decided upon was the lawman, the oracle, and the diplomat. And I'll go into explaining each one briefly. For the lawman, the primary role was to conduct investigations into reports made by players and to proactively make checks to ensure fair play. Help desk categories are report a dupe, report an exploit or a TOS violation. And the tasks include recapture scores, bot checks, proxy checks, help desk reports, and gold for nothing checks. The diplomat primary role was to act as a liaison publicly, so that engagement between players and staff was kept at high levels. Help desk categories were feature suggestions. Tasks were forum moderation, forum replies where suggestions and questions are found, and a link into the Buzz team. The Oracle's primary role was to be the expert in bootleggers and its features so that when interactions are required with players, staff, and HDOs, the right answers are always given. 8 help desk tickets categories were general gameplay, and tasks were to upskill and maintain knowledge within the HDO team, to answer questions within the forums and the help desk, and to create and maintain a FAQ and information sections on pages. When we asked how Flames think the new moderator trainees has settled in, he responded enthusiastically. Radar, Genesai, and Maima have settled in brilliantly. I am so ecstatic to the team we have now. They are enthusiastic, fun, and understand how important fairness is to our roles. I have nothing but praise for them right now. They came onto the team when the round was ending and provided so much energy and excitement, but showed they are adaptable when after the reset happened, their absolute focus using the skills I had been giving them at the help desk. Long may this team continue, and special thanks to the HDOs who have absolutely played their part in getting them set up. Could this mark a new beginning? It seems like the new staff had a good beginning of the round, and a round could be a real baptism of fire to new staff. So far, it seems they've done a good job of it. There haven't been any loud complaints or about unanswered tickets, and they seem to be ahead of the game at this point. The critics would probably say that there's only a question of time before the enthusiasm and engagement from one of the new moderator trainees will fade, and they will realize, like so many moderators before them, that when it comes to all, they are powerless if the guy in red coat decides to disappear or delay changes, as he has done in the past. But maybe this time is for optimism. There have been plenty of changes, and the suggestion box seems to actually be frequently visited. Maybe new flesh blood wearing green was what all of us, including Kyle himself, needed to spark our motivation to build some renewed faith in the game. May the 4th be with you, by Coasty. It was a relatively quiet morning. Most were indulging in the laser-filled nostalgia, enjoying May the 4th in its fullest, where Star Wars marathons were aplenty. While some believed themselves to be a lightsaber-wielding Jedi, others embraced the role of villain, and like the Death Star descending upon the Rebel base at approximately 5:30 p.m., the Untouchables opened up fire. One after another, the graveyard was graced by members of the Gambino family. Just like that, bootleggers felt a great disturbance in the forest, as if tens of voices suddenly cried out in terror, and were suddenly silenced. Yet not all the Gambinos fell. What led to this action? Why were the Untouchables unable to finish? Why am I so overly dedicated to making Star Wars references in this introduction? Find out as we indulge ourselves in the details of Round 11's first shooting of consequence, a shooting that has both history and implications for continued action as the round progresses. This tale, like so many others, began a long time ago in a round far, far away. Round 10. The Gambino family and the Untouchables have quite a bit of history, to include being a combined crew at one point. We won't get too much into this, as it's been touched on before in the buzz, but let's just say there are some prequels to this story, which are tough to watch, involving a character that many aren't a fan of and no longer is part of the story. However, this most recent episode started with a veiled threat at the end of Round 10 by Kangaroo, after members of the Gambino family continually shot members of the Untouchables at the end of the round. Kangaroo reached out to Chop and stated, "We will have fun next reset," which set the stage for everything to follow. Chop reflected on these words and knew that something would be afoot early in Round 11. Seeing as he had relatively recently regained control of the Gambino family, they were recruiting heavily early in the round. Asking why he felt the need to recruit so heavily, he said, "Mainly to try to get as much cash as possible for properties, gang, and crew spot. We reduced our recruitment due diligence slightly in the hopes that we'd get more players. More players equals more money and revenue. We knew the risks of this, of course, but we hoped to also potentially find one or two good players as well." He then continued, "One of these recruits was a guy called Frank. Seemingly harmless on the onset, I spoke to him about his BL aims and why TGF, at which time he claimed he was new and learning the ropes, so to speak. I also asked about his past name in the round, Maya. He said he wanted to die to get nickels. As time went on, I got more and more suspicious of Frank. He was relatively active in Discord, but only really spoke when there was a spike or something had happened in the game. The suspicion started when he mentioned he stored cars full of booze and each state ready for spikes. I thought to myself, would a new player know to do this? The guy knew which casinos had been busted and when, and that he wasn't overly active, even though he hit Godfather around the same time as some of our relatively quicker rankers. It just didn't add up. It was at this time that Chop realized he had to do something. So, in the meantime, he allowed Frank, who he is suspicious of being Chubbs, to continue to contribute cash to the crew until the time was ripe. Then, like when Han Solo was confronted in the cantina by Greedo, he ensured Frank was the first casualty of round 11, kicking and killing him with prejudice. Yes, Han shot first. I don't care that they edited it afterwards. This is my ridiculous reference, and I like it, so get over it. Afterwards, accusations were made in the graveyard, and Chop got confirmation that Frank was indeed Chubbs. Of course, the Gambino family knew that the Untouchables wouldn't take this without a response. They all cheered one another about being correct in their assessment, and fully expected to be dead by morning. Upon waking up alive, Chop stated, "When we woke up alive, we couldn't believe our luck. We grinded the next day, earned as much money and rank as possible, ready for another night of potential death." Lo and behold, Tio and Kratos reared their ugly heads and shot TGF. It would have been a full wipe had it not been for our non-European members coming to the rescue. Consequently, and quickly pointed out by Kangaroo, the main reason the Gambino family did not suffer a full wipe was the fact that they were a gang and some names were hidden and unsearchable. When I asked Kangaroo if this frustrated him, he said, "Not really. It makes it fun to have a gang and hide members. We shot every name we had. Let him get a crew spot, and I'll make sure to wipe them all and claim it." Which, ironically, came to pass, but not in the most planned way. More on that soon. That's called a tease, folks. Take notes. When I asked Kangaroo if he'd share with the community just how many bullets it took to finish the shooting, he said, "Too much," and then left it at that. Now, at the time, I was interviewing both Chop and Kangaroo at the exact same time, and had the pleasure of being the middleman, exchanging veiled threats and congratulatory remarks back and forth. After this continued for a bit, feeling like an abused stepchild between two parents who were fighting, I had asked Kangaroo if he plans to reach out to the Gambino family to try to end the feud. He said, "I don't think I'm at a point where I need to end it. I'm losing nothing. They are the ones that need to reach out and resolve it for their sake. I'm not on stats. He is." Acting as a glorified carrier pigeon, I shared this sentiment with Chop, to which his response was, "We lose nothing too, apart from a couple Tommies. If he wants to carry on the little TGF witch hunt, then he can fill his little Joey boots." Referring to him as being a kangaroo, of course. You get it, right? A Joey? I digress. In summary, Chop asked me to deliver a message to Kangaroo saying, "Hugs and kisses from afar." To which Kangaroo responded, "Bullets and respect from us as well." It was a little weird, but I could dig it. This is where I believe our story had ended for now. The rebels struck first, blowing up the Death Star before the Empire had a chance to complete the destruction of the hidden base. However, it would seem the Gambino family had another set of plans set aside and ready for action. On Friday, just 2 days later, in the early afternoon, they opened up fire on Peroni by the Tyne, effectively wiping the crew from the statistics page and claiming that oh-so-coveted crew spot for themselves, boasting that they, in fact, completed the first actual wipe of the round, making a shrewd reference to claims made by Kangaroo. This, however, was short-lived, as the Untouchables made good on their promise to wipe the Gambino family should they upgrade the crew, which they did just 19 minutes after they claimed the crew spot. More on this latest development, however, is not known to us just yet. I reached out to Chop, Kangaroo, and the leadership of Peroni by the Tyne to get more updates, but the timing was not very fortuitous for this particular publication of the Bootlegger's Buzz. So, tune in next time and we should have all the juicy details of what led to this latest bout of shooting and any developments that should happen from now until then as well. Until next time, I'm Coasty, and I'll catch you up on the next publication of the Bootlegger's Buzz. Peace out. The Booze Runner Character by Abu Regheb. An interesting plot that introduces characters into the world of bootleggers, this is a suggestion article and is no way how Kyle intends to bring the characters into the game. Hopefully, it will bring a new perspective to the upcoming feature. Sleepless nights. I've been having trouble resting my eyes. Ever since I arrived in the United States, land of freedom and opportunity, I could barely sleep for a few hours. Maybe it's the weather, or maybe just my frustrations getting the best of me. I've always dreamed of building my own empire to become an influential figure in the criminal underground that many fear and loathe. I suppose now that I'm here, my subconscious is pushing me to get out there and make it happen. A harsh knock pounds on my door. I jump out of bed alarmed. My brother, Tony T, is meant to meet me early today, but I didn't expect him to come about halfway through the night. I opened the door and immediately recognized Tony. However, he wasn't alone. A shady man accompanies him. To add to my surprise, they're both wearing milkman outfits. I'd like you to meet one of my good friends, Willy Ducks. Tony points to the shady man as he hands over the extra outfit that matches theirs. Put this on. We have a long drive ahead of us. Introducing the Booze Runner character. Now, this is a character that Abu Ragheb has fleshed out and has given many different perks to and levels that have been created on a chart and illustrated that you can see if you go to see the physical Bootleggers Buzz actual article. It's really hard for me to try to explain this to you in audio format, other than you need to just go and see it yourself. And that'll do it. Thank you everyone for tuning in to this edition of the Bootleggers Buzzcast podcast. Feel free to reach out to the Buzz team if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or to Vio if you're interested in joining the team. That's all we have for you now. Until next time, I'm Coasty, and I'll catch you later.